Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The afternoon of this past Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, as I took the sacrament to the altar to our shut-in member Larry Reef in Longview, I met a car that had a Christmas tree tied down to its roof. Advent had only just begun that very morning, but at least one family apparently already was setting up for the Christmas season, even as some churches hang greens and other decorations well before Christmas's 12 days. Here at Pilgrim, we try to keep Advent and Christmas distinct, and I certainly do not intend to blur that distinction by centering this year's midweek Advent Vespers on the theme, Living Among the Bible's Trees. In fact, none of the trees that we will consider has a direct link to the Christmas tree, although our Christmas trees might remind us of any and all of the Bible's trees, including those such as the tree of Jesse that we are not going to be considering. And we do not live among the Bible's trees only during the Christmas or Advent seasons, but we live among the Bible's trees all year, though we do not usually have such sermon series at other times. So we begin our midweek Advent sermon series tonight by considering the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Although the first chapter of Genesis mentions, or narrates rather, God's creating fruit trees in general, and mentions his giving all those trees to the first man and woman for food, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is one of the first two specific trees mentioned in the Bible, as we heard in tonight's first reading. This particular fruit tree, God's word had set apart. It was fenced in, as it were, by his word. Word that told the man not to eat of the tree under penalty of physical and spiritual death. The man, and later the woman also, apparently were to honor God with obedience to his word that expressed his will regarding the tree. They were to work and keep not only the garden, but also their own spiritual development. However, the serpent tempted the woman to doubt God's word spoken to her by her husband and pastor. And since she considered the tree's fruit good for food, a delight to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, they both ended up disobeying God by eating of it. And so they suffered consequences for their sin, including their being banished from the garden. Through the centuries, art has usually depicted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and culture has usually referred to it as an apple tree. But we really do not know what kind of fruit tree it was. Nor do we know much about just how the tree lived up to its name, although there are various speculations. Certainly, before the man and the woman's eating of the tree, God's word revealed to them what was good and what was evil. And later, King Solomon's asking for an understanding mind in order to discern between good and evil pleased the Lord. So people's knowing the difference between good and evil cannot itself be the problem. Maybe all we can safely say for sure about the man and the woman's eating of the tree is that they're doing so changed for the worse their relationship to God and their relationships to one another. As their physical and spiritual descendants, we by nature suffer from those same consequences of sin, which sinful nature leads us to add sins of our own. Unlike the man and the woman, we are not purely good to begin with, but we all by nature are dead in our trespasses and sins. And regardless of our age, we are so dead. Any so-called age of accountability or age of discernment or age of discretion is imagined. Ignorance of good and evil has never been an excuse, and no one is truly ignorant. God's word continues to reveal to us all what is good and what is evil. And so, like the man and the woman, we all also are to honor God with obedience to his word. But apart from faith in God, by nature, all we can do is dishonor him with disobedience to his word. Tonight's psalm presented well the two ways, the way of the sinners, walking in the counsel of the wicked and sitting in the seat of scoffers, and the way of the righteous, delighting in the law or teaching of the Lord and meditating on it day and night. The wicked are like the chaff that the wind drives away. They do not belong to the Lord's church and will not withstand his judgment but perish. While the righteous are like trees that do not wither because they are planted by streams of water and bear their fruit in its season. The Lord knows them and blesses them. The righteous are righteous when, and as God enables them to do, they turn in sorrow from their sin and trust God to forgive their sin for Jesus' sake. Jesus is the seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent to the point of defeat, even as the serpent bruised Jesus' heel to the point of death on the cross. Jesus perfectly honored God with obedience to his word, and on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our failure to so honor God's word. The fear of the Lord in the form of faith is the wisdom that we need in order to be forgiven. Jesus overcomes the consequences of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus makes the church a tree of the Lord's planting. Jesus' death on the tree of the cross merits the forgiveness of our sins. And so Jesus becomes for us the tree of life. As God's word set apart a particular fruit tree to be the cause of the man and the woman's physical and spiritual death, so God's word now sets apart other ordinary things potentially to be the cause of our physical and spiritual life. God so works life for us through his wet, read, and preached word, through the water and the word of holy baptism, through the words and the rite of individual holy absolution, and through the bread that is Christ's body and the wine that is his blood in holy communion. These means of grace enable our repentance and faith. They give us the forgiveness of sins, and they result in our honoring of God with obedience to his word. In tonight's second reading, God sets before the people of Israel, whom he had delivered from slavery in Egypt, blessings of life and curses of death, and he calls them to choose life. Likewise, God sets before us, whom he has given physical and spiritual life, the same blessings of life and curses of death, and calls us to choose life. In that regard, the scenario is largely the same as it was for the man and the woman facing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Apart from today's first reading, that tree is never mentioned in Holy Scripture again. And so it remains somewhat shrouded in mystery to us. Likely part of God's salvation for us by grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, is that we do not have to deal with that tree eternally. Rather, whatever might bring death has been removed from us, and we have only life in Christ and all that that brings. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.